Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Your friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York, it is Saturday, September 20th. Moving right along here. Something I wanted to add to the conversation that I didn't get to. Tyrone Taylor drove in a run on his rehab assignment with AAA Syracuse, so I'd have him back tomorrow. Today. Sunday, if they can't have him back for the 3:30 game. Yeah, Jose Siri just, he just made it, so that you don't expect to see him much in the postseason. You've got other options there. He had a miserable night. But I don't know. They might not look at it and make it so finite. But, yeah, he had a bad one. As we move to football, as we move to the conversation around football, I see the football calls coming in. 888-808-1019. Shout out to everybody in the chat. We're starting to get some of the same people in the chat. Ade is in the chat. Patricia is in the chat. The Fearless One. Jay Fed. Pedro Medina. Bob. Michael G, shout out to you guys. Demon D back in the chat. Where's Mr. Met Killer? Mr. Met Killer always in the chat. My guy Future Yanks in the chat. Christopher Santiago in the chat. So, we're live on YouTube if you want to watch from home. Hoff will also be on the YouTube stream when he starts at 2. And, we obviously had the signal split with the Rutgers game. And now we're back to our regularly scheduled programming. I keep seeing on Instagram, they're putting up these graphics of like Saquon Barkley and what he became after leaving the Giants. Like Saquon Barkley leaves the Giants, leads the league in rushing. Daniel Jones leaves the Giants and he's 2-0. Xavier McKinney leaves the Giants and, he leads the league in interceptions. And I'm like, okay, so people are catching on. This is something that we've talked about a lot here, but this is something that's become a theme, I guess, outside of New York. And, there are other names. You'll see Sterling Shepard this weekend for the Buccaneers, Jets fans. Leonard Williams is another one. Evan Ingram's ruled out. He's not going to play. But there are a few guys that were here, Gettleman guys. There were a few guys that were here with the Giants that Shane and Dable decided, you guys aren't worthy enough to be here under our regime. But yet they did pay Daniel Jones just to cut Daniel Jones so they didn't have to pay him if his injury clause triggered. They also paid Andrew Thomas. And I'm waiting to see Andrew Thomas, man. I'm looking at Andrew Thomas like, bro, come on, big fella. Like, they need you. Like, you don't want to play football? Like, I just saw an interview with Odell Beckham Jr., with Complex, where Odell Beckham Jr. is talking about for the first time in a long time, he's fully healthy. He feels good. Feels like he could run. Feels like he could take off running. And now he just wants to play ball. He just wants to catch a couple passes. He just wants to hit somebody. I'm like, that is the mentality of the football player. The football player wants to play. And like, if you're a lineman and you're not a skill position, like you want to go out there and legally be able to assault somebody. You want to go out there and legally be able to punch somebody in the head, throw somebody around, right? I don't know. Andrew Thomas didn't strike me as a guy that is ready to go out there and do that on Sunday night against the Chiefs, and they absolutely need him to. Like, it's week three. It's time. 888-808-1019. Tony's in Montreal on the fan. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Keith?
Good.
Wanted to talk about Daniel Jones and what you've been saying. You've been saying, like, when the quarterback, what's his name, went to Tampa Bay, you kept mentioning that he had had a terrible time in different locations, like in different with different coaching staffs when he was with the Browns, et cetera. And I just want to know, like, what happened to Daniel Jones? He was supposed to be a pariah. He couldn't do anything in New York. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have a great competition in Indianapolis. They're now calling him Indiana Jones, you know, as a nickname. And he's like, he beat out Richardson. I believe that's his name, Anthony Richardson Jr. or something like that. And all of a sudden, he has this great coach, Shane Steichen. And Shane Steichen says that he reduced the game to a minimal of plays, and he reduced the complexity of, I guess, whatever the game plan was. And he gave him options and a lot of, you know, ability to amend whatever was on the field. So I'm not a football guy. I'm a hockey guy. You tell me. He was a pariah, and now he's, like, rated number 2, 3, and four in different categories.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tony. First off, I'll say it's a two-week sample size. It's only two games. He could come out this weekend and be trash. He could come out this weekend and erase all the goodwill that he has created. I highly doubt that, though. He's playing against the Titans. I leaned into this before the season started because looking at that AFC South division with the Titans, with the Jaguars, with the Texans, I'm like, why can't this Colts team go out there and win it behind Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones has some good players around him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that helps. That's something that Saquon said when he went to the Eagles. Saquon talked about stepping in the huddle. He's like, I look to my right. It's A.J. Brown. It's Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Hurts. I'm like, looking at the offensive line, there's all pros on the offensive line, like an all-star team. You know, he's not in the huddle with Richie James. Jonathan Taylor is a good running back, a high-drafted running back that they paid. And, like, I think I've heard on the fan, I thought I heard someone the other day say you can't name any of the Colts receivers. What are we talking about? Everybody can name at least one, I hope, of Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce. And even if you don't know Josh Downs, I would hope that you know that they drafted Tyler Warren. I know Jets fans know that they drafted Tyler Warren. He's not a receiver. He's a tight end. But he's getting targets like a receiver. He's got good players. Daniel Jones has good players around him. They were able to, you know, beat the brakes off the Dolphins in their building. And then they were able to escape in their building in the last seconds against the Denver Broncos. I don't know. I think it's too early, but I know when I went on my rant and I talked about Saquon being let go, now Daniel Jones is the next one in line that if he figures it out with the Colts and they go to the playoffs and the Giants crash and burn, it's not going to look good for the Giants. Now, you talked about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was a top draft pick, and it's funny, I mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. talked down on Baker Mayfield, had us thinking that Baker Mayfield wasn't a good quarterback, wasn't trying to get him the ball. Nah, Baker's a good dude and a good quarterback. The Panthers are always screwed. So, of course, they had Baker and Darnold in the building. They didn't know what to do with either one of them. And when he went to the Rams, it was always interim. It was always temporary because Stafford was the guy there. And now that he's with the Bucs, he's found a home. Franchise quarterback. Like I said, he's a Tampa guy. He's been over the Yankees facility. I bet you the Yankees hang out with him. He seems like a cool dude. There was a story, I think Tristan Wirfs talked about him just hitting him up when he was drafted, like trying to go get a beer somewhere. Like, Baker is just a regular dude. I think Daniel Jones is a regular dude too. You know, there's a lot to be said about these quarterbacks and their personalities, you know, how they lead teams. Like, no one ever said anything bad about Daniel Jones. He's pretty vanilla, pun intended, vanilla Vic, but like, you could tell that when they did what they did last year, coincidentally, going into the Bucs game against Baker Mayfield, look at how the universe never unconnects. All this stuff is just connecting. Ding, 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 ding. going into that Bucs game when they decided to make Tommy DeVito the starter, you know, and move away from Daniel Jones, like the players, they all talked about how hard he worked and how much respect they had for him and how much they liked him. And yeah, that broke up the locker room in a bad way. You know, they bring in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has a great game last week, but they find a way to lose. It would be such a jolt for these Giants to go out on Sunday Night Football with the world watching and find a way to beat the Chiefs. Carlos is in Clifton, New Jersey on the fan with us. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, just to piggyback on that comment just now with the Giants beating the Chiefs, as much as I want them to beat the Chiefs so that you come on board, I'm kind of conflicted now thinking about it. Like, is it good for us to win or is it better for us to lose?
It's always good to win. It's always good. Why would we be trying to lose week three?
No. I mean, not trying to lose, but then, you know, win that game, and then you know how the Giants will go. They'll lose, like, the next three in a row, and then it's, like, back to square one. It's like, I don't know.
No, you always want to win, man. Thanks for the call, bro. I appreciate you always calling. I see, this is where the Giants got y'all, man. You're confused. Week three, like, is it even any good to win? Of course. You need to win. You go 0-3, mathematically, you don't recover from that. There is no playoffs. There is no season. It's all the way uphill. You win. And like I said, you do it on national TV against a team that just went to three straight Super Bowls. Now everybody believes. You know, and I'm looking at the stuff coming out of the Giants facility, and, you know, they're trying to keep it light. They're doing the Sunday Night Football theme. They're playing the Sunday Night Football theme. And then, you know, I saw his video of Cam Scataboo. I guess this guy just does a lot of yelling, because I saw a video of him jumping in front of, like, Drew Phillips. And how about Drew Phillips, bro? I've been watching that Drew Phillips highlight video all week from what he did in Dallas. When he had the pick and then he goes and celebrates, he's looking at the camera. He's like, it's me. I'm like, yo, he's tough. I've always thought he was tough. He's one of the better players on the Giants. If I have a favorite player on the Giants, it's probably him. He goes crazy. He's just got a dog in him. Like, he dunks CeeDee Lamb's ass. I like that. But, yeah, Cam Scataboo is a crazy one from running into poles as a kid. And I think they're trying to keep it light. You know, they were asking of the Giants, who would you want to change a tire? And it went viral. One of the linemen said that he had to change his girlfriend's tire 5 times in college. And Russell Wilson was like, what was she doing? Made me think, too. I'm like, is she drunk driving? Well, you got to change her tire 5 times. That's too much. 888-808-1019. Talking football now. I see in the chat, Pedro said, football picks for the weekend, Keith. Who you like? Before I get out of here, I'll give you my thoughts and my picks. I'm not a big picks guy. Doesn't matter. Nobody can call it. That's the whole thing about the NFL. Any given Sunday, I gave you my picks via rap. Maybe, and that just dawned on me. All of the show that I did was on AM. I had Lendell White on, and I had my rap played for my week three picks, and that wasn't heard on FM. That was on AM. Oh, well. So, yeah, I'll give you my picks. I'm not picking the Jets. I'm not picking the Giants. And I'll tell you why, you know, and I've been telling you why. I just don't see it, man. Teams that lose continue to lose. Teams that find ways to win, find ways to win. They win on the margins. They do the little things. They go for it on fourth down. They kick the field goal when they're supposed to kick the field goal. Or they take the points when they're supposed to take the points. Like, They convert the first down. They run out the clock. They score before the half. Like, they have these habits of winning football teams. Bad football teams have inopportune turnovers, penalties, shoot themselves in the foot over and over again. And, like, I don't know. I don't see the Jets going into the Buccaneers home opener and taking that game. I also don't see the Chiefs going 0-4. Losing the Super Bowl, losing the first two games of the year, and then coming on Sunday Night Football in front of the world and losing to the Giants. But what do I know? I don't know. Place your bets. They're probably good bets to take. But the Buccaneers are a 6.5-point spread favorite, and so are the Chiefs. Like, they expect these guys to beat them by a touchdown. Fernando's in Union City, New Jersey on the fan in New York. What's up, man?
Keith, I had the privilege of meeting you last summer in 2024 at the Fanatics Fest at Javits Center. It was a privilege to meet you, bro.
Thank you.
Big Cowboy fan here. Why don't you just pick your brain a little bit here? It's a little frustrating. You know, second half against the Eagles, there were some adjustments made defensively. You saw the defense play better, you know, pass rush, covering better. What was going on last week with this coverage? I mean, I get it, you know, Russell Wilson was due to have maybe some rejuvenated game, but this zone coverage was awful. I like what the Cowboys are doing offensively. They were running the ball. I've never been a big Prescott fan, but he was making good throws, especially to Pickens and Ferguson. I think this game's winnable in Chicago. I think they're like a point and a half underdog. But I think after last week, I think psychologically that was a game they should have beaten the Giants by more. But like you said, some teams just find a way to win. They find a way to beat the Giants. They can win this game in Chicago. But I just wanted your thoughts about this defensive coordinator. I mean, it's only two games in, but like I'm not happy with Schottenheimer thus far with the play calling and these assistant coaches. I mean, are you concerned, brother? And by the way, keep up the great work. God bless you. Let's go Cowboys.
Thanks for the call, Fernando. I'm not a Dallas fan. I could care less about them. I'm off that. I signed off as soon as Jerry Jones traded Micah Parsons and I saw what the return was. That's a game that the Cowboys should have lost. The Giants were on everything they were trying to do. The first quarter was 170 yards to 9. The Giants found a way to lose that game to the Cowboys. The Cowboys didn't do anything impressive in that game to like their defense is ass. Matt Eberflus, the former Bears head coach, as you ask about this game coming up with the Bears, the former head coach of the Bears that they kicked to the curb. Let's see what he does for an encore here. Let's see what he does for redemption here. After his defense got carved up by Russell Wilson, who the week before the whole world was telling us he's washed, he's cooked, he's done. Matt Eberflus and the Dallas Cowboys defense revitalized him. I don't know what they were doing, bro. I have not gone back and watched the film, but watching it live, they were just getting burnt, toast. The secondary, the safeties, the corners, like, I don't know, blowing assignments or not being deeper than the deepest guy, like letting Wandale Robinson run right down the field, Malik Nabers run right down the field. I'm like, they're cooked. And I think it's because it's like a combination of Trayvon Diggs, Kair Elam, Trayvon Diggs, who has been hurt a lot, Elam, who is still fairly new, Donovan Wilson, Malik Hooker. They have guys that are just like, I don't know. I was not watching that as a Dallas fan last week. I was actively rooting for no good to come Jerry Jones's way. I really was just like, I thought the Giants had him. I'm looking at that box score at the end of the game. I'm like, how did they let them score 40 when they had 10 at half? they let Brandon Aubrey kick the hell out of the ball. I wouldn't, if I were you, Fernando, I wouldn't get too excited about this Dallas team. I wouldn't. Now, you could get excited about Dak. I will say Dak is a master. Dak is at a level now where we don't realize he's been in this league 10 years. You are watching a master at work. And you know what? Like, he can throw the hell out of that ball. He can put that ball into some tight windows. He finds receivers open. He's just like, I am very impressed with Dak. I'm not a Cowboys fan. I will always be a Dak fan. He goes 38 of 52 with 361 yards, 2 touchdowns. The week before, he was ready to go against the Eagles. He's going to have some games. He's going to have some big games. He's actually my fantasy quarterback for one of my teams. But yeah, I think they could lose to the Bears. I think Ben Johnson can look at the film of what the Dallas Cowboys didn't do against the Giants and figure out a way to start cooking against them in their own building. And I don't know. I don't have any faith in Matt Eberflus. And then, like, you talk about Brian Schottenheimer. Why is he the head coach? Why is he the head coach of the Cowboys? That was another thing that pushed me from, like, I'm like, these guys are idiots. Jerry Jones has got to be an idiot. He's a genius with what he turned the Cowboys into. But football-wise, the way he played with Mike McCarthy and then defaulted into hiring Brian Schottenheimer. Nobody was checking for Brian Schottenheimer. And then he tried to play this whole thing like, oh, continuity. We want to keep continuity, please. You want to keep continuity with failure? You want to keep continuity with being okay and then losing in the playoffs? And that's what you're going to be continuing to do. 888-808-1019. But yeah, I'm off that, bro. I'm a free agent. And I wish I became an NFL free agent sooner as far as fandom. It is freeing. It is so nice to not put on a clown Cowboys jersey on the weekend. It is so nice to just be focused on my fantasy teams, my parlays, and just have a bird's eye view of the entire league and not have my heart and emotions and feelings tied to one. It's great. It's great. I can't tell you how I am just like, you know, smitten on Sunday. Like, I don't feel anything. I didn't feel anything on that Thursday when they lost to the Eagles. I didn't feel anything when they lost or when they beat the Giants. Like, I honestly didn't feel any, like, people thought I was trolling online because I preemptively, like, I was too early, prematurely said, 0-2, Jerry Jones, no evil will come your way. And then I was astonished that they didn't, like, the Giants didn't finish the game. They didn't seal the deal. So, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Being a Cowboys fan is stupid at this point. I'm not from Texas. And coming up on this week, it'll be 10 years since I've been to Jerry World. So you don't go see your team play for 10 years. How much of a fan are you? And it's the Packers. The Packers really broke me. That's what it is. You know, talking about Dak, I watched Dak his rookie year with Zeke go to the playoffs and lose to Aaron Rodgers and Jared Cook down the sideline, and they kicked the field goal to win it with Mason Crosby. A couple years before that, or year before that, right, Dez caught it with Romo in Lambeau. Oh, fast forward to just 2 years ago, before my son was born, I watched these guys be a touchdown favorite in Jerry World where they won like 13 games in a row. They got the youngest team playing in the playoffs. We thought it was a soft landing spot. And that team hung 40 on them. And I was like, right then and there, yeah, that's when I copped out. That's when I signed off. I'm like, this doesn't do anything for me, bro. I grew up a Dallas fan. I'm grown now. I grew up. I grew out of it. And you should grow. You should evolve. And you should change your ways. I don't let any five-year-olds make any decisions for me. I'm a grown man. A five-year-old made that decision for me. And it's not that serious. But I think it's a, you know, and as I've had this conversation with friends and I've had it on the radio, I think it's an interesting thing because it's like, I didn't inherit the Dallas Cowboys. I can shake them. My pops didn't make me a Dallas fan. If my pops was in my life, I'd be a Dolphins fan. I got lucky. Him and Uncle Chuck are Dolphins fans. That's a whole different kind of misery. I'm glad that I'm not a Dolphins fan, but I made myself a Dallas fan. I can unmake myself a Dallas fan, and I'm damn sure not going to make my son a Dallas fan. We're open for business. I'm looking at the Bills. I'm looking at the Buccaneers. I'm looking at the Ravens and the Jaguars right now, and I'm looking for a fifth potential. And then I'm going to do a whole YouTube series when my son is old enough, where we go to each stadium, we tailgate with the fans, we put the jerseys on, we go through the game day experience, we check out the stadiums.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Stay tuned. Let's go to Ed in Mohegan next up on the fan. What's up, Ed?
What up, Keith? How you doing? All right. I have a question about the Giants quarterback. And look, this is it might come off as a stupid question, but I think I think a lot of people feel the same thing. They're just too embarrassed to ask. When I look at the Giants, like last week when the Giants lost the game, I'm listening on the radio, I'm listening on the fan, and I'm like upset that they lost. I was happy because I had Malik on my fantasy team, but I was sad because I was upset that they lost. But then I said, you know what? What's the difference? It just means a higher draft pick. And that's the mindset for Giants fans right now. So when
you can't be thinking about the draft, losing a game in overtime week two.
Because I know they're not going anywhere this year. But this is my point. If they had had Jackson and everybody's saying, don't put in Dart yet. You know, and this is my question. Why do certain quarterbacks like Cam Ward, Bryce Young went right in, and then some quarterbacks you got to wait a while. Like even Aaron Rodgers had to wait 3 years. Mahomes waited a year.
Circumstance.
But other guys go right in. Is it the physical? Is it the
it's
mental? What deems a quarterback ready to go in?
It's the sum of all things. It's the city. It's the offensive line. It's the head coach. It's the coordinator. It's the roster.
Well, everybody's offensive line stinks. You know, very few teams have a great offensive line. You have to learn at some point. I mean, the Yankees. If the Giants had lost. And with Jackson Dart at the helm, I would have been more upset because I know that they're trying to groom him to be the next guy. But you know they're not going anywhere with Russell. They're just not. Maybe they squeak into the playoffs and win a game.
No, they're
but
not.
No one real. But they're not. No, exactly. That's like the most you could hope for. So it's kind of hard to get excited about this team because you know they're not going to go anywhere. At least not yet. I mean, why not put Jackson Dart? Is it only the offensive line?
No, and if you lose this week, and depending on the fashion and how you lose, how it looks, you could see Jackson Dart start week four, and I don't think that would be the right thing. Thanks for the call, Ed. I mean, it's different strokes for different folks. It's different planning, you know. You think the Chicago Bears are probably thinking right now, damn, we probably should have drafted Jaden Daniels? Jaden Daniels ends up rookie of the year in the NFC championship. Caleb Williams ends up, you know, with the most different color nail polishes any quarterback has ever worn in the NFL games. It's different. You mentioned Bryce Young. They benched him. Like, they forced him to play as a rookie, but then they benched him for Andy Dalton, and now he's back in, and I don't know. He played a little better down the stretch last year. Someone on the fan said that the Panthers are going to be a surprise team this year. No, they're not. It's circumstantial. You know, Jordan Love had to sit for years behind Aaron Rodgers. I think that worked out. He's pretty good. He doesn't turn the ball over. They're going to win games. He seems like a veteran. He's only been playing a couple years. They paid him. You mentioned Cam Ward. Like, well, Cam Ward was drafted into a situation where, like, they just drafted Will Levis 2 years before, and Will Levis gets hurt. They had nobody else. I think Tim Boyle is their second or third string quarterback. They don't have anybody over there. Cam Ward has to play. And it's going to be a bumpy ride. It's going to be a real bumpy ride to start. With Jackson Dart, it's like there's so many different circumstances around Jackson Dart because it's like, it's this head coach and GM are attached to him, and you need him to win. You need him to survive. You need him to succeed for those guys to succeed. But then why did you go get Jameis and Russ knowing you were going to draft this kid? I don't know, man. Even in a situation like C.J. Stroud was in Texas with D'Amico Ryans, first-time head coach, they go draft him. They know he's going to play. He competed with Davis Mills, but they knew he had a good chance to win the job. Goes to the playoffs, wins a game, back-to-back years. You know, I think he was the better option over Bryce Young. But it depends on what the owner liked. I think they said something like David Tepper didn't like his hairstyle or something. They didn't like his locks or something. They didn't like his look. That's not who they wanted it to be the face of the franchise. They liked little Bryce Young's look better. Can't call it. Most of these quarterbacks fail. Most of these quarterbacks don't succeed. Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. That worked out. You know, look at Bo Nix. many teams passed on Bo Nix, but he ends up with Sean Payton. It worked all right last year. They got to the playoffs. There's a lot of hype around them this year. I don't know what they're going to be this year, but Bo Nix is an NFL quarterback, and he had 4 years of college experience. That helps too. That helped Michael Penix Jr. That helped Jaden Daniels, all the reps that they got in college. Penix, they drafted, and they paid Kirk Cousins. And they tried to have him sit, but then they were forced into action. It's different everywhere you go. Now, to tie it back in with the Giants, I think the Giants go 0-3. Go ahead and play the kid. You're not protecting him now. But also, I think that's not good for his development and his health. I think you could get him hit, hurt, knocked out of a game, and you'll be back to Russ or Jameis or whoever it is. It's a long season. We're already looking at week three of the NFL, and there's five starting quarterbacks that are down, and their backups are playing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Yeah. Another week in the books, trying to run through the tape. You know, doing these Friday shows, when you get to this time, I'm like, man, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. But I got enough left to get us through my picks. And, you know, shout out to everybody in the chat. I love that we have the chat going now, the live stream. And you guys are funny in the live stream. I'm reading what people are saying. Quado says, Keith, you are a fair weather fan in the tri-state period. Just over a year ago, you were a Cowboys fan. 2 years ago. Why the switch? I bet my bank account, if the Yankees struggle, you'd be a Met fan. I said, nah, I'm Yankees for life, never Mets. And shout out to Jay. You know, Jay says, what's up, Keith? First time interacting on any platform. I fall asleep listening in my driveway after my drive home. Can't get enough of the show. And I appreciate that. So I said, thanks, appreciate that. And then we went on to the conversation, and he says, I'm sorry the Cowboys did you that dirty that you had to drop them like a toxic ex. I said, I'm free. It feels good. And I went back to my notes because I did have an article, right, about the Cowboys defense. Now, what it said was, according to NFL Next Gen stats, the Cowboys play zone coverage 96.2% of the time, the highest in the NFL this season under Matt Eberflus. Last season, under Mike Zimmer, the Cowboys were in zone coverage 70% of the time, which is 12th in the league. So what they're doing is switching defensive coordinators and doing stuff that this defense is not used to, and this defense wasn't put together to do. And they got exposed. They got. And I commend Brian Daboll, because I was screaming out, hey, you're the offensive mastermind. You're the offensive guru. Draw it up. Scheme it up. Figure it out. And he figured it out with a game plan before the game and in the game to really attack the Dallas Cowboys. It is a shame. That's an all-time game that the Giants should have won. And it sucks that it's an all-time game that the Cowboys get to say, hey, we won that one. Like, I hated seeing Jerry Jones smile after that game. I hated seeing the Cowboys celebration in the locker room. They had like some type of like weird, like, we bring the boom type of celebration. They were doing like some type of chant, like after every accolade that they said, it was like, boom. I'm like, they're so corny. being a Cowboys fan doesn't behoove me anymore, with especially what I've become at WFAN in the media, social media. I haven't made $1 off of being a Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't know how much I've made off of being a Yankees fan, but I know it's a good amount. I know people reach out to do influencer marketing. I did a whole Ford Bronco commercial where I got a Ford Bronco dropped off at my house and drove it to Yankee Stadium for Ford to just, like, you know, use me as an influencer. And like, what I made off of that is, like, one of my proudest things that I did all year. Nobody's hit me up to you know, support Jerry Jones. Even the Poland Spring thing I did, that's Dallas Cowboys. Or that's the Yankees, not the Dallas Cowboys. I'm too far from Texas. It's not ever going to be a thing. So it worked. You know, it worked. They gave me the perfect out. They were just trash and fired the coach and traded Michael Parsons. And yeah, I'm an NFL free agent. And my son is starting to get it. I think in two more seasons, my son will be like, okay, I want to pick a team. And I'm going to tell him, listen, bro, like, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of misery that comes with that. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. Frank is in Middle Village on the fan. What's up, Frank?
What's up, Keith? How's it going, bro?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Do me a big favor. Just please make sure your son does not turn into a Jet fan like me and all the rest. Please,
yeah,
please,
I
please.
Just, I'm hearing some people out that are Jets fans. I don't know if I could do that to them. I don't know if I could.
No, you can't allow it. It could be any of the 31 other teams, just not the Jets.
Like, and I said to one of my boys, I'm like, who leaves an NFL team to become a Jets fan? I don't know if there's anybody in the history that said, I stopped rooting for this team to start rooting for the Jets.
If anyone did that, they'd be the biggest idiot in the world. What a disgrace. So that's actually why I'm calling. I'm hoping you could walk me off the ledge. It's been 2 weeks. I'm sick and tired of the Glenn analogies of the slow ship takes a wild turn or whatever and stacking the Lego, whatever.
Instant
I'm
coffee,
tired of
yep.
It, man. And yeah, enough of it. I don't know. Tell me, am I overreacting? I just
no,
curious
you're not.
What your thoughts are on that. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, man.
No, you're not overreacting. Because we said this in the offseason that if you don't win, all the tough talk, all of the hard-ass stuff, all of the approach against New York media and New York fans being the head coach of the freaking New York Jets, if it doesn't turn into wins, it's going to be hollow. It's going to be empty. It's not going to work. And you don't get a lot of time. You want to talk about the Jets and the Giants being the same damn thing? The Jets should have won that first game. That was an all-timer in your building. You have to come away with the win. I'm sitting there on my couch saying the Jets have everything to end this game. They have everything to win this game. They're playing good defense. They have the run game. They're up. They have the lead. They found a way. They found a way. So Aaron Glenn can hit you with all the analogies and all the coach speak and all that other stuff. He can even get rid of Xavier Gibson, who, you know, you can blame him for game one. But that is already, you know, that's already a cheap move because it's like, okay, follow it up with cutting Michael Clemens. He defended Michael Clemens, but I told y'all that's his fellow Texas A&M brethren. I don't know. I can't talk. That's how I know I'm sick. I need to go to sleep. Brethren. They're alumni of Texas A&M. He's not going to throw Michael Clemens under a bus. He's definitely not going to cut him. I think the Jets will have a good showing this week, but ultimately they are a team trying to find their identity, trying to find ways to win. It's going to be hard to go down there and beat Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. It's going to be hard to go down there and knock them off in their home opener. Now here are my picks with the last 10 minutes to go here. Keith, you let your son be a Yankee fan and not a Met fan. Tell him about great players like Jeter. But of course, my son didn't. I'm looking at the chat. My son didn't have a choice with the Yankees. People were buying him Yankee baby stuff before he was born off of me. And my son has already met Michael Kay, Susan Waldman, Joe Girardi, Paul O'Neill. Like, my son has already been to spring training. every year that he's been alive, so too. He's been to multiple Yankees. The Yankees are a different type of thing than the Dallas Cowboys. They're also, like, I can drive from my apartment to the Yankee Stadium with no traffic in 35, 40 minutes. I don't have to get on a plane. Even, like I said, with the Mets did me a solid, and I appreciate it. I backed off the Mets for a couple weeks because I reached out to the Mets about Blippi Day, and they treated me like I was Salicata, Evan Roberts, Positive Tommy. They brought me in VIP for my son to meet his hero, Blippi, who he watches on YouTube. And my son has already not put two and two together. He's already like, we read this Goodnight Yankees book. And he says, I seen Blippi there. I seen Blippi inside there. I'm like, no, dude, that was Citi Field. That was not Yankee Stadium. He said, I say hi to Blippi in there. And his mom thinks it's hilarious. She's like, he does not even know that he went to Citi Field, saw the Mets. It's just another Yankee Stadium for him. So, yeah, I'm done trying to tell him. I'm done trying to convince him, like, yo, you were at a Met game. To him, it's all Yankee Stadium. So, yeah, bless him. When he's ready to be a football fan and pick a team, that's who I'm rolling with. And Jackson, he might be a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. He might be a Bucks fan. Eagles are off limits. Chiefs are off limits. There's already a bunch of teams that are off limits. But all right, here are my picks for week three. So when I did the wrap, I took the Bucks money line. So you know I'm just going money line. I think that the Jets could cover against them. The Jets could cover because the Bucks haven't been blowing anybody out. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the Bucks have gone out there and run up the score. They've won two close games back-to-back weeks on the road. In their building, they'll probably win another close game against the Jets. So I'm taking the Jets to potentially cover, but really I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to say money line, give me the Buccaneers. We'll go money line for all of these picks. Money line with the Dallas Cowboys. I just think, the Bears at home, yeah, they might be able to get with Matt Eberflus a little bit, but like, I don't think that they're going to be able to stop Dak Prescott. It's not cold enough yet in Soldier Field. 425 game. I think it'll be a close game. They have Dallas as a 1.5 favorite, so that's telling you they expect it to be close. The over-under is 49.5, so they're expecting points, a little bit of a shootout. But I don't think the Cowboys will lose to the Bears. I would laugh my ass off if they did. So Cowboys money line. Packers money line. You don't even need to talk about that. They're a 7.5 point favorite. And they're coming off rest from playing Thursday night football. The Browns are 0-2. The Packers are Super Bowl favorites. The Colts, money line. They're definitely going to beat the Titans. Daniel Jones, Tyler Warren, Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, those guys are keep on rolling. And we'll be talking about another week where Daniel Jones has multiple touchdowns, another week where we're impressed with Daniel Jones winning with the Colts. And people are going to point at the Giants if the Giants go 0-3, and they're going to say, well, the quarterback that you kicked to the curb last year that you treated like, we're just going to go to Tommy DeVito, let him play safety in practice. He asked for his release. Yeah, that guy's gone on to greener pastures. He's 3-0 with the Colts. They're calling him Indiana Jones. The Bengals-Vikings game is Jake Browning versus Carson Wentz. I'm taking Jake Browning to go in there into that football palace with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And not miss too much of a beat. This guy did it. He did it a couple years ago with the Bengals. I think the Bengals go 3-0. I don't think they'll be trading for Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson either. Jake Browning's the guy. Steelers and Patriots. Oh, man. You see how we applied week one to week two with the Steelers? The Steelers beat the Jets. And so a lot of people picked the Steelers in their home opener to beat the Seahawks. And nope. I'm taking the upset here. I'm taking the Patriots to beat the Steelers in their building. They're just younger, and Aaron Rodgers, he's old as hell, and I think this is a big one for the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots money line there. Steelers are a 2.5-point favorite, but I think the Patriots can run the ball, get with them, and Drake may make enough plays. Now, here's the game of the week, the Rams versus the Eagles, and I'm taking the Rams. To hell with the Eagles. The Rams, if it wasn't for the snow and whatnot in the playoffs, might have been able to get with them. And I hope they do now with Devontae Adams and Blake Corum coming along a little bit. The Eagles still don't have a passing touchdown. They don't have much of a passing threat. I'm taking the Rams to beat the Eagles in Philly. That's going to be glorious. The Raiders and the Commanders. The Raiders are dumpster juice. Tom Brady can sit up there in the booth. It's not going to help them. The Commanders will beat the Raiders with Marcus Mariota. I'm taking the Commanders' money line. And Jaden Daniels, rest up. You'll be just fine. Let's see what Marcus Mariota has. Marcus Mariota, the vet. He's been around for a little while. The Falcons and the Panthers. Ew. You know, those teams, I'm taking the Falcons to win. Those teams, I don't know what to say about either one of them. The NFC South is going to belong to the Buccaneers. But I think Michael Penix Jr., Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, those guys should be able to make enough plays over the Panthers. The Falcons should be able to come away with a victory there, taking the Falcons' money line. The Texans versus the Jaguars. This is a good one. The Texans are 0-2. They can't risk going 0-3. But down in Duval, that's where my family's at. My family is from Sherwood, Forest, and Reball. I used to spend summers down there. This chain you see on YouTube, I got down in Jacksonville. That's what's different about me. I was baptized down in Jacksonville, Florida, when I was really young with my grandmother, Grandma Edie, who put the Bible in my hand. I used to be running around with kids in Jacksonville. They used to roast me for my northern accent. You talk white. Where are you from? Spent like 7, 8, 9 years old summers down there in Jacksonville. First football stadium I ever saw was Alltel Stadium down there when the Jaguars expansion team started in 96. So the Jaguars have a place in my heart. I'm taking the Jaguars to win against the Texans for sure. All my cousins will be lit. Some of them will be there. Some of them are season ticket holders. The Broncos versus the Chargers. This is a game that the Broncos should bounce back in. I think if I wanted to take an upset, I'd take the Broncos here, but I can't do it. I think this just second year of Harbaugh, it has really taken Justin Herbert. He's dating Madison Beer. I mean, this guy, he's on top of the world out there in L.A. I think the Chargers beat the Broncos and stay undefeated. Take the Chargers' money line there. The Saints and the Seahawks. Well, expect a heavy dosage of Kenneth Walker, Sam Darnold, and maybe Jalen Milroe will get active here. I don't think the Saints have any chance to go over to the Pacific Northwest and beat the Seahawks. Seahawks money line. The Cardinals and the 49ers. Kyler Murray. I was trying to tell folks, Kyler Murray was probably an elementary school kid when Michael Vick got arrested for doing what he was doing. He made a mistake this week. He apologized for it. He wore his Michael Vick Virginia Tech college jersey, and he was in a picture with his pit bull, and people didn't like that. It didn't go over well. Kyler Murray has two pit bulls, and he said he treats them like kings, and he's sorry if it offended anybody. That wasn't his intent. I think off that, the Cardinals can shock the 49ers. I think that the 49ers, they're suspect. Mac Jones, I'm taking the Cardinals. You got to pick an upset, right? It's a small upset. The Niners are 1.5 favorites. I'm taking the Cardinals over the 49ers. They're a 425 game. Chiefs-Giants. I think it'll be entertaining. I think it'll be fun. I think points are going to be scored. I'm taking the over there. And I think the Giants can cover that 6.5, 7-point spread. But ultimately, I just think the Chiefs, Taylor Swift, the power of Taylor Swift, and the Chiefs finding ways to win. Andy Reid's going to draw something up. Pacheco coming home. Pacheco's going to run the ball hard, being back in the Garden State, and the Chiefs will win. And then last but not least, outside, outdoors in Baltimore, King Henry and the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, DeAndre Hopkins. Should be a high-scoring affair, but I think that they outlast the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions away from their building aren't as good, and I think the Ravens this year, they're going to be on a little bit of a war path now. They're going to start getting rolling. They should have beat the Bills, putting up 40 in that first game. They bounced back against the Browns, and now they have another formidable opponent in the Lions, and I think that they'll beat the Lions. There's my picks. Let me see in the chat. They're probably like, boo, boo, this guy sucks. See, I'm not taking any betting advice from Keith. Fade City, LOL. Well, don't bet. If you want to take any advice from me, I've stopped betting as much. I looked at how much I lost. The amount I lost over a certain time period would probably be enough, well, is enough to pay off most of my, like, student loans. And I don't have that much in student loans because I was a scholarship athlete, gave my scholarship back, and only took out loans for a year. They've accrued some interest. But yeah, when I actually look at how much I've lost, because you think you're winning when you do hit, but over time, everybody loses. I went back and looked at my six-year record, and I'm like, oh, no. Got to slow my roll on this one. I got a kid now. It's different. All right, I'm out of here. Live stream is going to keep running. And here comes Pete Hoffman. You know him from the Rico. You know him from BT and Sal. He produces the Giants game. He's about to rock till 5 a.m. Stay tuned. I'm out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.